chapter 1, 21 through 25. Title of the message this morning is called Listen and Obey. Listen and obey. Let me pray. God, we ask that you would speak. You would allow our hearts, Lord, to be encouraged by your word. Today is going to be very practical, God. And so I pray you would move us from just the type that listen to those that actually do. That we are in activity, that we're not passive, but that, Lord, we are active. And so I do pray you would help us, God, get away from just being those that spectate, but those that participate in what you tell us to do. We love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen and obey. Last week, we talked about a very important topic. We talked about, well, being slow to speak and quick to listen. Today, it goes a lot with that because it's almost like a part two. How do we know if someone has been slow to speak and quick to listen? Well, if they can actually do the things that you were telling them to do. I mean, it makes no sense to go and sit in a classroom and hear all of the instruction and all of the teaching and be there for an entire semester. And then finally you get to the test date and you sit there and the test is put in front of you and you have no idea what the test is about. Now, this is probably like a lot of us, me, and I'm like, did I learn any of this? Were these things covered in the syllabus? What questions is that? It's probably an indicator if you're confused at the test that you didn't pay attention during the year. Okay, that's probably the indicator. Most of the time, the information on the test was covered, okay, in the classroom. And so we were not listening. Therefore, we're not able to do. We're not able to be quizzed on the material. Well, because we weren't actually paying attention, okay, in the whole process. You know, this will actually pay quite a devastating blow in many different areas of life, by the way. You know, not too long ago, I went skydiving. I'm not a fan of heights, but in order to go skydiving, I had to sit in a class. We watched a little video, and the video told us about the different aspects of the parachute. And here are the cords. You got to pull this cord. You got to stay. You got to hang on. You got to pull these ropes. And so I was listening a little bit more attentively than, say, a classroom because my life was hanging in the balance, okay? I wanted to get this thing right. If I wasn't going to pay attention during the parachute class, it might have gone splat, okay, after I jumped out of that airplane. Now, a skydiver that jumps out of the airplane that doesn't use the parachute, he's the one to blame, okay? He's the one to blame. Obviously, he maybe listened, but he didn't obey. He didn't do as he was instructed. It'll pay big deficits to our life if we listen, but we don't obey. If we hear, but we don't put it into practice. If we simply spectate, but we're not participating with the information that has been given to us. Now, kind of last week, the idea was this, that we should be the type that listen to the people around us, people when they speak, and we should be closing our mouth and opening our ears, okay? That's why we've got two ears and one mouth, all right? So we should listen twice as much as we speak. But now today, we're gonna orient that toward God, because I think this is the most important relationship for me and you on what we should be doing with our ears. So we close our mouth, open our ears, and who's the primary voice that we should be listening to? Well, it's right. It's the Lord. It's God. Specifically, it's His Word. Today, we're going to talk about listening to the Word of God, but not only listening, but also doing what we've heard by putting it into action. Of all of the noise and all the voices in the world, it's most important that you tune in, you listen to, and you obey God. There's a famous saying about the Bible. The Bible is B-I-B-L-E. It's basic instructions before leaving earth. Sadly, the Bible is one of the most owned books, but it's also one of the least read books, where we've got the parachute, but we don't use it. It's like a scuba diver that descends but doesn't use his air tank. The Bible is meant to be a resource from you. It's God's word to you. It's God's equipping you, the voice of God in your life. This is so vitally important for the Christian life that we would listen to God and not only just listen, but put it into practice. That we would be the type that says, yes, Lord, I hear you and I'm going to do as you instructed. And so today, that is James' encouragement to me and you. Again, James is the brother of Jesus, and he's given us very practical tips and truths on what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And here's one of the ways that you can determine if someone is a follower of Jesus. Do they actually listen and obey the things that Jesus says? James 1, 21 through 25, here's the simple truth. You go to the doctor's office. You're sitting there before the doctor, and the doctor says, okay, I figured it out. This is what your problem is. You pay attention. He tells you what it is. Then he pulls out his little pad of paper and he writes down some things. And he says, here, you're going to take this to your local CVS or Walgreens, whatever you've got. You're going to fill this prescription, take the prescription, and then come back and see me. But I'm pretty confident it's going to be cleared up. You leave his office after he's explained it. He's told you. He's written it down. You have it in your hand. As soon as you leave the office, you go, what did he say? what just happened? And you leave with no intent of doing what he said. So you go home. You don't even go to CVS. You don't go to Walgreens. You don't fulfill your prescription. You just go and you hang out at the house, and your condition doesn't get better, but it gets worse. It gets worse and worse and worse. And finally, you go back to the doctor. You go to the office. You're sitting in the waiting room. And they call you back, and the doc comes in. And he goes, hey, good to see you again. Doc, bad news. It's gotten worse. What? What do you mean it's gotten worse? I mean, okay, I told you what it was. I told you what to do. I gave you the instruction. I gave you the piece of paper. Did you write it down? Let me ask, did you take the prescription that I gave you? Oh, that's right, Doc. I totally forgot. Who's to blame in the situation? It's the patient, okay? It's me and you. This is the instruction that James is saying. There's something wrong with you in your life. There's problems that need to be fixed. God is giving you the prescription for your life. That's what the Bible is. It's a handwritten prescription. God knows how to fix your life. He knows how to give you hope. He knows how to give you direction. He knows how to restore your business. He knows how to help you save money. He knows how to restore a marriage. He knows how to bring back broken friendships. He can bring back relationships with our children. He can give you freedom from depression and anxiety and fear. He can restore your life from bitterness and anger and just a sense of hatred of the world. God can do all of these things, and he has the prescription just for you. If you would just read it, and not only read it, but you would do it. James's instruction for me and you today is that God has tailor-made instructions for you. It doesn't help you at all to just go to church or read your Bible and not do what it says. My hope for you is that today we would be a bunch of doers. We'd put into practice the things that were told. Now, very clearly, verse 21, he tells us out of the gate, here's some things that you need to get cleaned up in your life, all right? He says, verse 21, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. So he's just kind of cleaning out the cupboards. And receive with meekness, so he's moving the things out of the way so you can listen to the word. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So here's the first word. He says, therefore, in light of everything that we've learned from James, here's the application. You have to lay aside all of the trash in your life if you want to have real change that is noticeable to all people, especially yourself. Now that word lay aside, it means take off or put away, lay down. It's kind of a picture of clothes that are stained. I'm sure you've gotten really dressed up and you went somewhere to eat and you got a big old stain on the front of your shirt unexpectedly. You're like, oh man. And so you race back to the house, you take off the clothes that are filthy and you put on new ones. James is saying that your life is like a dirty garment that needs to be taken off. there are dirty things in your life right now. He doesn't get specific, by the way. He just says, lay aside the filthiness. Really the malice, the maliciousness, the kind of the gross things in your life. You need to take those things off. And this is a good little slap to the hand where James tells me and you, if you're a follower of Jesus, you do have to stop giving in to those life-dominating sins. And we've all got different types, by the way. And so he's not pointing a finger at you, but he's pointing a finger at all of us. And he's saying, all y'all need to stop being so sinful. You need to take off them filthy habits and create room for the Word of God to come in. You have to take things out in order to add the right things. Kind of like when your phone runs out of storage. Now, thankfully, this hasn't happened with my phone in a long time because I bought the bigger phone. It's got like 256 gigs of space. Who needs that much room? I guess me, because I take that many photos, all right? But anyway, it used to be that my phone would pop up that little tiny symbol, you know, out of storage. And I'm like, ah, dang it, I can't even take a photo. I can't download an app. And so what do you have to do to create more space? You have to delete things you're not using or trash multiple photos. And so you're just deleting all this trash so that you can put in the right things. And James is saying, if you want to experience life change and transformation, you got to take out some of the junk. We got to start deleting those files and those needless things that have been holding you back. And so he says, lay aside all filthiness, all maliciousness, all malice, pretty much this overflow of filth. Take it off, throw it away, so we can make room for what God wants to do in your life. See, when you come to Jesus, you are full of sin. That's why none of us judge each other, because I know that you've got problems like I do. We've got hardships. We've got addictions in different ways. We've got lack of desire. And there are things that we do in the dark that we don't want people to know about, but God knows about those. And so he says, if you want to follow me, we got to do something about these things that are hidden, the overflow of filth. My prayer is that you would apply that today. And Jesus will help you with that, by the way. You can just pray, God, help me. Lord, would you clean out my closet? Lord, would you help create some space in my life for you? Would you get rid of the old, let's do some spring cleaning in my life, God? Would you throw out the trash so you can bring in the treasures? And he'll do it for you. It's a beautiful thing. You know, the people here that James was talking to, they needed this reminder as well. They needed to be told that God wants to clean up your life. He wants to change you. He doesn't leave you the same way that he found you, okay? That's a beautiful thing. God finds you in the midst of the mud, but he cleans you up. He makes you beautiful. He gets purpose back to your life. You start to see the light again, and the light at the end of the tunnel, and things start looking up, and that's kind of how the Lord works. It's amazing what God does in the life of a Christian, that he finishes the work that he starts. So he says, take off the filthy actions and the wicked behavior, and let's create a little bit of room. Now, the New Living Translation says this, humbly accept the word of God as planted in your heart, for it has the power to save your soul. So once we've created space, now we've got open arms. So we're letting go, opening our hands, dropping the trash. Now open hands, open arms to God. God, all right, whatever you've got for me, Lord, the trash is gone so the treasure can come in. What do you've got for me? And it says, what we're going to accept is the word of God. So your arms are up, your ears are attentive, and you're ready to receive is the word that he uses. The word receive, it means grasp, welcome, to be receptive of, opened up to, approving of. It's accepting what God wants to do in your life. When you go to a brand new website and you go on and maybe pay a bill or something, and a little tiny, you know, pop-up window pops up and says, there are cookies on this website. Now, I wish those were real cookies, by the way, okay? When you say, yes, I accept the cookies on this website, okay, you are giving permission for it to run some background information about you, okay, about your scrolling habits and what you're clicking on. But those cookies you have to accept when you're going on a new website. And this is what you're saying. You're hitting the accept button with God. You're open arms and you're saying, okay, God, I accept. I'm willing. I'm ready. Whatever you got to do, just do it, Lord. I'm all in with you. This idea of being open and ready to receive from God is all over the Bible. This is what Jesus tells me and you to do, that we would be people of the Word that are ready to receive it and then to do it. Like in 2 Thessalonians, it says, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God, that we would receive it as the Word of God and apply it in our life. Now, as we kind of see a little bit more heart here, he says, you're going to receive it with humility. There are some people that are pretty obstinate to the Word of God, where you need to have a real humble heart when you read the Bible, because it is like a surgeon's scalpel. It's going to do some work on you that you really need. Now, sometimes it hurts, okay? I'm going to be honest with you. There are some times that you read a little verse in the Bible and you're like, ouch, man, okay. Like, I don't know if I agree with that. That kind of hurts my pride a little bit, or that's cutting a little too close to the heart. But that's what God's goal is, that God wants to reach into the deepest areas of your life and he wants to clean you up. Plenty of people have put down the Bible because it's too convicting. Their pride is attacked and they don't want to know how to deal with it, and so they just close their Bible. Your Bible will either keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from your Bible. You pick. Let me say it again. Your Bible, that little scalpel in the hand of the great physician, it will either keep you from sin that will kill you, or sin will keep you from your Bible. So you need to have a real humble heart before God and be emptied of your pride and ego so that God can rightly address and expose and heal what's going on in your heart and life. And this is a lifelong process, by the way. It's called sanctification. Like, how are you when God wants to correct something in your life? Let me, like, really think. Are you stubborn? Or are you defensive? Or are you, Lord, help me. I'm all in, God. I'm listening. I'm ready. I'm open arms. Do what you know how to do. It says that we're receiving the implanted word, which is able to save our soul. I like this because the idea of the Bible, what it's doing is that it's taking us from point A to point B. This is the primary tool that God uses in your life to sanctify you. As a mechanic, I did that for a number of years. I was working on heavy equipment rentals. There were certain tools that I used on a regular basis. I had certain preferenced tools that had a little bit more wear, a little bit more tear on them. They're a little greasier and a little dirtier because they worked the best on the equipment that I was working on. And so if it was a huge excavator, you know, I would pull out my impact gun because my impact gun is what I needed to get those big old bolts off that were almost welded on there with rust and dirt. And so I had to bring out the heavy guns, you know, to get these bolts and these nuts loose. And in your own life, all I'm saying is that impact wrench, okay, on your life, if you're the heavy equipment that God is using, is his word. The Bible is the tool in the hand of the Redeemer in your life. And so I want you to really focus on verse 21, what he's doing, why he's doing it. You're getting rid of the trash so the treasure can come in. You're humbly accepting it. You're not resisting what God wants to do. Listen, if you want to be saved and you want to look like Jesus, you want to have a life that's worth living, you want purpose and hope and peace and rest to come to your heart and your mind, then quit being so hostile against God. Just trust what he's doing. He's working. Get your butt in the book, as I said 2 weeks ago. Get in the Bible, read it, listen to it, and start to obey it. See, that's the second part that he wants you and I to know for certain. It's this: listening is not enough. Saying, okay, God, I got it. And then walking away and not doing what he's instructed, that's not good enough, okay? There actually has to be feet to your faith. There actually has to be motion moving forward, action that proves that you were a really good listener with the Lord. This is what it says in verse 22. Check it out. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because if you do, you're deceiving yourself. Again, there's the doctor analogy. Who's deceived when the patient doesn't listen to the doctor? Is it the doctor? No, it's the foolish patient, right? It's the patient that deceived themselves, thinking that they were going to get better when they didn't listen. Okay, so we now come to the Word of God, and we've got to really start asking ourselves, am I obeying? Am I doing the things that God wants me to do? James is telling these Christians that your life should be marked by obedience. There is a big difference between disobedient children and obedient children. Now, I know this because my firstborn, Zechariah, he's an obedient child. My goodness, even last night, my wife and I were talking about how easy he was. Why is it that kids are so different? You know, they come out of the same womb. Why aren't they all the same? Well, our firstborn, okay, he's amazing. I mean, he was obedient from, I never even had to really spank the kid. I just kind of like, hey, I point my finger at him. He'd start like weeping and crying and get right with us and God. And he kind of still is that same way. He's amazing. The disposition of his heart, the sensitivity of his spirit. So great. All right. Love him. But then we've got our second born, Zephaniah. I don't know where he came from. I have no idea. That kid, I mean, you could spank the seat off that kid and it makes no difference. I mean, he just looks at you, no emotion, and then he'll go do the exact same thing. Zephaniah, why did you do that? I don't know. Bro, what's going on in your little brain? Between those ears, what is happening with you? Why don't you listen? He is so disobedient. So I have had to get really creative on how to help this kid understand and put into practice. Okay, we know the difference between disobedience and obedience. Are you, as a child of God, an obedient kid or a disobedient kid? Life goes a lot easier when you're obedient. Man, the blessings that come down, they're so much different when you're obedient. When we're obedient to what God says and what He instructs. It says in verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, they're not obedient. What they're like is like someone suffering from amnesia. They look at their face in a mirror, they walk away and they go, what was that again? What am I wearing? What do I look like? He's got amnesia, okay? He's not able to remember. It says, for he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. This is very practical for me and you. God is simply saying, please, please be obedient. Do the things I'm telling you. I'm a good heavenly father. I love you. I've got good plans for your life. Just trust me and do what I'm telling you to do. When you read something in the Bible that gives you instruction for your relationships, for your business, for your personal sins, for your marriage, how to have a good marriage, whether to love your wife or to submit to your husband or respect your husband. When the Bible gives you these instructions, like, quit fighting it. Do it. Be an obedient child. You will reap the blessings of obedience that come with that. You see, verse 25, he says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, this is the obedient child, and is not forgetful, but a doer, this one will be blessed. There it is. There's the blessing. This one will be blessed in what he does. Do you want to be blessed? If all the phones were unmuted, you should all say yes, okay? But it's muted, so it's okay. But yes, we want to be blessed. So here's the remedy for blessings. Obedience. It just seems like God's not blessing me lately, Pastor Jason. It's so hard, and life is hard, and things are difficult. And well, let me first ask, are you being disobedient to God? Is there something that God told you to do that you're not doing? Yes. Well, then stop it. Do what he says, then you'll reap the blessing. Don't expect the blessing if you're disobedient. This is beautiful because it's so practical. There's a blessing that comes with obedience. How do we obey when God tells us something in the Bible? First, we come close to God. These are the steps to obedience, all right? You come to close to God and say, God, I want to come close to you. Secondly, Lord, I'm sorry for all my disobedience. God, I'm going to choose to listen to you. Thirdly, help me concentrate on the right thing to do. And Lord, help me stay on this path, the right path of direction. We can feel strongly about obedience and not be obedient. The difference comes in actually doing and not just saying or thinking. I think the Christian church today is full of a lot of really good and well-intended Christians, where we will have good intent. I wanted to do that, you know, and if I could go back and do it again, then sure, I would be obedient, and I had the right motives to listen to the Lord. If you just simply cut the excuses and started to say yes to God in word and deed, your life will look dramatically different even overnight. It was Kierkegaard that said this: when you read God's word, you must remember to say to yourself incessantly, it is I to whom this is speaking. It is I about whom it is speaking. I must respond to this word for me. God is writing a unique prescription for your life, my friends. And your job is to listen and obey, to do the things instructed for you. That's the simple exhortation today, is that we would first step, just remove all the trash out of your life so the treasure can come in. The Word of God is going to be that primary treasure. That's going to be God's voice into your life. And when you let it in, do so with humility, listening, but not only listening, but obeying, putting it into practice. The Bible, here's a little quote for you as we close. The way we view it, it's this: we should read it to be wise and believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. The Bible contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map. It is the pilgrim's staff. It's the pilot's compass. It's the soldier's sword. It's the Christian character. Here, paradise is restored. Heaven is open. The gates of hell are disclosed. Christ is the grand subject. Our good is its design. The glory of God is its end. It should fill your memory and rule your heart, and then it'll guide your feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts and it'll lead you to Calvary, to the empty tomb, and to a resurrected Christ. Yes, to even glory itself for the rest of eternity. The Bible is your guide, the basic instruction before leaving earth. The way you view it matters. No one can say that God is silent if their Bible is closed. Let me pray. God, I know you're not silent in my life. Lord, I know that you are speaking so loudly and clearly and primarily, Lord, through the Word. God, I pray today that you would help us be the type of Christians that give the Bible a prominent place in our life. I know it's hard, and I know there are things that are convicting and some things that we might not understand. But God, I do pray you would help us be the type that are listening and obeying, that we have put away the pride and the arrogance and the ego, and we've given you the platform in our life that you can speak to us. And Lord, as we listen, I pray you would help us obey. Thank you for today, and I thank you for my friends on the phone call. Pray you bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.